in the center part of the city. There were about 8,000 grade 7 and grade 8 students from all the high schools working in the center part of the city, just below the detonation. And they're the one who simply vaporized, melted, and the carbonized. And my father and I looked for the body. My sister in the body, my sister in the body. We never found them. She's still, we never found them. But we were so happy. My favorite uncle and aunt survived, we heard. And they were outside of the city.
Tetsuko, if I can interrupt you for 1 second, we only have about 30 seconds. Could you respond to the visit of President Obama to Hiroshima, the importance of it for you?
For me? Yes, because his presence satisfied many people, because he went to the cenotaph and paid respect. I think that was very satisfying to many survivors. But the message part, everybody anticipated great message. So did I. But, of course, it was a huge disappointment once again. He made a beautiful speech in Prague. And I guess we were all hoping something like that would happen. It didn't happen. It was a huge... Anyway...
Setsuko Thurlow, we want to thank you for being with us. We'll continue this conversation and post it online at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 o'clock. KBOO Evening News produces a nightly one-hour newscast every weekday night. We need editors, writers, reporters, and more to make this grassroots community resource happen. If you're interested, you can try something very exciting by training in writing for the radio, interviewing, field recording, and audio editing. It's all free of charge, but you have to go through the KBOO volunteer orientation first. Email Lisa Loving at newsdirector@kboo.org or call 503-231-8032 if you're interested in becoming part of the KBOO Evening News team. Coming up is Positively Revolting Talk Radio, just after a few messages.
Our nation's over-reliance on incarceration has left millions of children emotionally cut off from the most important relationship of their young lives. Join Prison Pipeline on May 30th to hear Laura Speer from the Annie E. Casey Foundation discuss how children of prisoners are impacted and how the states and communities can help support these kids and improve their prospects for success. That's Prison Pipeline, May 30th at 6:30 p.m.
What would you have instead?
They watched a parade passing by. And through the haze of last night's sleep, something familiar caught my eye. There was a couple looking so much in love, yes. You. Oh,
the morning paper. Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning. It's 5 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning, and we welcome you to Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And I want to start off with a giant thank you to everyone who joined us or renewed your membership during the fabulous recent KBOO Spring Membership Drive. We thank Linda Olson Osterlin for sitting in with us for us last week.
Thank you, Linda, for being positively revolting, as usual.
And for talking to the positively revolting raging grannies about their participation in the recent break-free action in Anacortes. So thanks for doing great radio as Lynn and I stared at the sea for a couple of days. It was awesome. And now we're back. And this week, we are looking at the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence. The VBC is an event that celebrates and affirms people, our interconnectivity with each other and the places that we live. And it's an exciting celebration of life, art, and sustainability, really. So joining us for this discussion this morning are a couple of organizers for the VBC, Reedy DeCruz and Preeti Shah. Thank you so much.
Hi, Ani and Lynn. Hi. Nice to be with you.
Thanks for having us.
And I just want to let folks know who you are. I asked for just a little bio, and you send me these paragraphs of, I'm like, I'm so excited that you're in the studio with us. Oh, my God. You both do so much in this area, so much towards permaculture and highlighting a sense of belonging in strong communities. And that's really apparent in the work that you've been engaged with. So Preeti Shah is a community-focused eco-activist. She has a diverse background in environmental chemistry, permaculture, youth farm-based education, and reclaiming traditional place-based livelihoods. Mm-hmm. So you have, Preeti, spent a good chunk of your career focusing in rural development and reforestation projects in the tropics, in Hawaii, mm-hmm. in India.
Now I'm here.
And as if that's not enough, you work with City Repair, mm-hmm. And you also garden education at shelters for families overcoming domestic abuse. And you're active in social justice movements too. Shoot PDX, like anti-colonialism PDX, and other groups. And I'm just there's a lot to talk about in that, and we only have an hour, so it's going to be a great show. I hope everyone is listening. Reedy DeCruz, you have been a couple years. It's been since we've had a chance to talk to you on the air, mm-hmm. though I think you talked to other people last year. I think that would have been the case. Anyway.
The title.
A grassroots sustainability organizer, a sociocultural anthropologist, and you've been in Portland now for about 6 years, coming from South India. And you have, again, also been involved in so many groups and seeing those intersections between them and the intersections between diversity and sustainability, mm-hmm. which is really huge. Mm-hmm. Let's you, again, work with City Repair. You've been a core organizer with VBC for a little while now. And you say that you love facilitating community empowerment and collaborative leadership. Who doesn't love that? That's awesome. So there's a lot to dig into this morning. I want to thank you both for joining us. I get super excited talking about the Village Building Convergence. Yay. Because to me, in my head, it serves as a focus point of intention where we're honing the skills that we actually need to tangibly create strong communities. Like physically, we always like, how do we strengthen communities? And we think about these sort of conceptual ideas. But there's something so tangible about the way that the Village Building Convergence brings that home, not only in tangible hands-on projects, but in the way those projects are developed. And that's where I think I really want to start the conversation. So could be possible that people are new to town. Could be possible somebody does not know what the Village Building Convergence is. It's been going on for 16 years. But if you're new to town, you don't know that. But you've probably seen some things, which we'll talk about in a little while. Who would like to actually just give an overview, a brief overview of what the Village Building Convergence is?
So the Village Building Convergence is a 10-day convergence. It's a gathering. We ask people to come out, meet their neighbors, dance, celebrate, kind of celebrate the city. We have people that will, neighborhoods that will propose projects early on throughout the year that will want to be like, we want to put a garden here, we want to put a mural, we want to do a free library, we want to do something really cool with natural building. And we basically help facilitate all these projects over the last 4 or 5 months to kind of come together. And then during these 10 days is when these projects like explode. That's when they're all happening. And not only like are the local, like really like the stars of the show are our local placemakers, those that kind of get, you know, knocking on their neighbor's door to be like, hey, do you want to come help me garden or meet your other people and you're around you? And so we really ask those that maybe didn't really help create a project to get to know their local neighborhood project and come out. And then in the evening, because we really want to see the faces of the people that got to come out there and work, we host evening events to basically gather everyone together at a central location, which we call Hearth, you know. Come together, eat some food, talk about, you know, some current social, political, sustainable, heartwarming issues, whatever those may be, and dance and celebrate and really try to share stories and come together.
And so let's define a couple of terms. What's placemaking?
Ooh, good one.
Well, we define placemaking as a way to connect with one's local place. So that includes the land communities as well as the human interactive component. And and I would add that along with making the place, it includes inhabiting it. So it brings us back to land and tending.
One of the things that I find so encouraging about the Village Building, so I'll go at a different direction. One of the things I find encouraging is it seems to offer an antidote to the one of the major ills that I see, and that is our isolation, where we are very carefully taught to be afraid of each other. We have fences so that our backyards can't touch each other because something could happen. You know, my Frisbee might get into my neighbor's backyard and then I'd have to talk to them to get it back or something, you know, something, you know, if we have yards at all, you know, and we have all these sort of physical barriers that keep us very separate in our neighborhoods. And when we talk about placemaking, when we talk about actually coming together in our neighborhoods to create a shared resource that emphasizes interconnectivity with our neighbors and with that place. To me, I can't imagine anything better to fight isolation and to fight that sense of fear and we're all in this alone. And so with that intentionality, it seems to me that the Village Building Convergence is an excellent, almost a healing agent, really, when it comes to broken communities, when it comes to that sense of isolation. So that's, I think, the reason I'm really excited about talking about it, because I see it as one answer, not, you know, there's certainly more than one answer to any complex issue, but this is a very tangible annual happening that continues to chip away at that sense of urban isolation.
Could I speak to that a
Please
bit?
Please do.
So, on that note, I would say that what the Village Building Convergence is so effective at doing is grabbing onto a moment in our seasonal cycle, which is the spring barn raiser, and using the momentum with land coming to fruition and, you know, the flowers are blooming and the gardens popping. So using, like, keying back into that seasonal calendar when we used to all come together to raise the barn. So it's a form of time activism. And that's part of why it feels right. Like, things are coming into culmination right now and will continue to build into the summer. So through the Village Building Convergence, villagers and villages are formed, metaphorical as well as place-based, and then that energy takes you through the summer and into the rest of the year, really, interweaving all these relationships. So that's one, and then that's the time activism, and then the space activism is of, like, really focusing your energy on your own communities or on these specific communities. We have 35 this year, and then the other thing you were talking about, social isolation, it's looking at the symbology of the grid and capturing the point where our pathways converge, which is an intersection, and utilizing that to, instead of making it a point of conflict where we run into each other, you know, we could just, with a shift of focus, we could bump into each other willingly. And so it uses that symbology to reclaim our birthright to be able to gather in public space, which is not allowed in this, not designed for in the United States. And therefore, the isolation and other things are, all of this malaise in our society are all tied back to that need for us to work with each other and be with each other that we don't get to fully express.
So you're pretty new to Portland.
I've been here 4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. You've been here about six. And this is the 16th annual. Now, Portland has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that with capital letters. In the last few years, we have so many new people and not always as, have you found a difference in trying to work and get communities together? Because neighborhoods are changing radically right now in inner Portland, for sure. So how has that been to work with that? What have you been doing to try to get, is it been more a sort of different techniques to try to get folks together? Or
yes, I would say that with the influx of so many relatively new residents in Portland and kind of a lot of money and business and a lot of development happening, I think some of the tactics of City Repair, which is like the host nonprofit of the VBC, we've really tried to see, you know, we're creative. We're like, okay, maybe we can work with housing developers. Maybe we can work with this new influx of, you know, people who have money or people who are buying property at a higher rate. What, you know, everyone wants to live sustainability. Like, that is not only a tag phrase, but I also think that that is generally why people are interested in Portland, why people are interested in Pacific Northwest, is to come here to be a little bit more green, to bike, to experience a little bit more nature. So I think that we've really tried to see, like, great, now we have more interest, more influx, now that there's been a little bit more of a highlight on Portland, Oregon in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited to use the VBC as an invitation to those that are brand new to the city, because what a great way to get to know Portland, if not through these really cool radical projects that are happening throughout the town. As well as an organization, we've shifted to, like, really trying to market our services. I'm using air quotes.
I'm glad that you actually verbalized the word air quotes, because that's the way it works on radio. I was about to do that for you. She's like, she's using air quotes, people. She's making the bunny ears with the fingers.
Exactly. You know, to really provide our services and do some outreach to the newer kind of developments that are happening while still being very deeply rooted in like grassroots anti-colonial movements, you know.
And I'd like to add that that some of our elders, some of our advisors have verbalized this, and I kind of take it to heart, that one of our most radical things that we could do is to be in place. And with so much mobility and flux and cheap travel, I think that we're seeing unprecedented forms of mobility and displacement. Mm-hmm. And so in these times, to say, I'm going to stick it out, I'm going to root here and take care of this place, and there are like 27,000 other places that I could be, but I choose this one, that's a powerful act.
Indeed. I want to look at another aspect of VBC, which is the permaculture aspect. And because I think permaculture design, first of all, who would like to just define permaculture design as being different from like a traditional organic garden? There's some difference there.
Gosh. This is daunting because I feel like, oh, you're going to have all these like actual permaculturists call and be like, that's wrong. But permaculture looks as at an entire system. So it looks at, you know, what you're growing versus what the shade is versus like what the birds are doing and the bees, as well as like your water system and the rainfall. So it looks at something small like a garden and actually looks at it from an entire ecosystem point of view. Like, can you bring in chickens? Can you help, you know, what else can you be doing that's, in some way, permaculture is the lazy man's, like, design
what
choice.
Is, one of my friends says, it's growing stuff in your front yard.
Yeah.
Growing vegetables in your front yard.
Right,
but instead of grass. Oh, no, I know it's much more than that. Just don't get me wrong. But it's certainly a start, isn't it?
Right, yeah. I say lazy man's just because it's, if you do a lot of front work with, like, the design of it, then essentially the garden takes care of itself, just like a forest, you know, in our national forest.
Forests take care can of take care of their own selves, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and so permaculture design then is really looking at things systemically and the interconnected relationships,
exactly.
Right, yep. Between the plants and the place. And
this is funny coming from Ani. It's so cute.
So Lynn has been a very good friend of mine for like, I don't know, 11 or 12 years now. And she knows that I can't grow a houseplant.
It's not that she has a black thumb. It's just that she's taking these places. She does hospice work with plants. She takes them over to the other side.
I take perfectly healthy plants and usher them over quickly. I know. It's my greatest source of shame being a witch. But
you're
still
creating compost, and that is valuable.
Thank you. Thank you for being here
cycle
this morning.
Back
I feel
into
better
the system.
Now.
I want to add, though, that permaculture is more than gardening, because I think it's a design philosophy. It's a toolkit. I apply permaculture design to how I organize my kitchen shelf, for example. So,
how does that work? Tell me.
I make a little keyhole, and then I line just whatever's closest to me is what I use the most often, and then what's on the layer beyond that is what I use less often, or sometimes it's by height, so visibility. So you stack, and you can apply that.
No, I do my, when I can't, kitchen that way too. So and that develops a rhythm. So in some ways, could you say that also, when you're doing that in the out of doors,
yes,
with your with your particular space, you can develop a total rhythm with your environment that way?
Because for me, one of the most powerful things with permaculture, when I found it back in India, was that for the first time, I felt that the human being or human beings were placed within the ecology, back as animals from this earth, as one of the keystone species. And so when you're designing, you're not just designing for the plants out there, but you're designing with the human being who's going to tend, who's going to eat, who's going to harvest, who's going to watch birds and insects. So it's very much replacing the human being back into the ecology, and that counts for your kitchen as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Let me go ahead and remind people, you are listening to KABU. This is your very own community radio station. I am Ani.
I'm Lynn. Sorry.
I give Lynn a significant look at this time. And this morning we were talking about the Village Building Convergence with Preeti Shah and Riti DeCruz. And let's go ahead and talk to you, dear listeners. Our number is 503-231-8187. If you would like to join in this conversation, please do so. And you can also, we encourage you to like Positively Revolting on Facebook. You can also follow along current topics, current events, pithy thoughts, all of that stuff throughout the week on Twitter, where you can find us at Positive Revolt. And with that, I just wanted to just finish up that permaculture analogy, you know, because when we're talking about that interconnectedness and the rhythm and the all of that, to me, permaculture is a direct analogy to how to do a strong community. Mm-hmm. Looking at the needs and looking at how we can work together to get that need met, mm-hmm. Together, interconnected, the sense of place, all belonging. And I love sort of the mirror that permaculture provides for the rest of VBC. And so thanks mm-hmm. for going down that little path with me there. Even if I can't garden, I appreciate it.
It's important. Yeah.
That's good.
Thanks.
That's a huge part of it.
Let's,
should we talk to Ethan?
Let's talk to Ethan. That's
Hi,
a good
Ethan.
Idea.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
So I kind of, you know, I'm from Portland, and I've actually worked with City Repair on something years ago. And I was a little taken aback to kind of hear how you guys are changing your marketing strategy to work with these developers. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if it sounds to me kind of like a money grab issue. And maybe there's something I don't understand, but I'm just shocked to hear that.
Do you want to address that, Preeti? Sure.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, first of all. And yeah, I guess maybe not necessarily a marketing strategy, but just recognizing that if there are developers that are coming to Portland, how can we work with them to create placemaking within some of these housing developments that are being built very rapidly? You know, some of these condos that are going up, you know, can we ask that they really consider having a public common space, you know, that can build at least in that community there? So that's really what I was referencing.
I'd like to add that, you know, both of us work a lot with diversity, and off late we've been challenging ourselves to extend the spectrum to not just include communities that are marginalized, but mm-hmm. also to include people with more privilege that the Village Building Convergence or City Repair doesn't tend to work with that much. So pushing edges that way. And, you know, we've worked with Eli Spivak, for example, for a mm-hmm. really long time. And he's a friend and he's a developer. Mm-hmm. And we also work with Eric Steinler. So these are two community-oriented developers. And yeah.
But you're not making money on this. You are a nonprofit.
NISPA? We are definitely a nonprofit. Yes, that is very true. But I guess also traditionally, City Repair and the VBC have been very grassroots, very volunteer-run organizations. Mm-hmm. And we love that spirit. But now, this day and age, in order for some things to stick around, in order for City Repair to stick around, you know, what was happening the last, like, 6-7 years, people would volunteer for a couple years, but would kind of take off or go on to the next adventure or move to a new city. So, you know, we kind of need to reinvest a little bit in just building the structure of the organization and yep. of the movement. Mm-hmm. So the money grab, you know, money is a tool to be utilized. And if there's places where it's there, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of places that, you know, we can kind of utilize that to move it forward.
Yeah. So we have a consulting program, and we consult with people and community development corporations, to government, to mm-hmm. local community members all across the nation, and increasingly internationally as well. Right, yeah. So, yeah.
And when you say you're consulting, you're you know, actually what is that? Well, before yeah. I answer your question for you. before I answer my question for you. What does that look like? Consulting with developers to try to bring in aspects of city repair, of community building, of sustainable design.
Yeah. Well, I will say that with developers, it's more a historical relationship with Eli at this point.
Right.
We haven't really had time, capacity, XYZ to go after developers. It's right now, it's an intention where we're like, whoa, this is intense, and our community is in is struggling, and we know the tactic that we would like to employ, but we haven't been very proactive in reaching out to developers other than doing a webinar for them about placemaking and just getting the philosophy and the idea out there so that we let it take root wherever it can. And then most of the other folks who come to us are the, like I said, community members, businesses increasingly, where they're like, hey, we want to have a community aspect too. And then government officials are like, what does your ordinance look like? And what's the insurance and liability?
And to add on that, we have been, City Repair has been contacted a lot throughout the year from other cities, from people in other cities. You know, we've had some great consulting work in Akron this year, up in Canada, up in Prince Rupert, definitely in California, Sebastopol, Santa Barbara, or San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, oh my God, all over the West Coast, Fort Collins, Colorado, coming soon.
Right, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll get community members, whether they be neighbors there or people that work in local government from these other cities, that'll kind of email in and be like, hey, we want to do a project. Like, how did you guys get started? You know,
what kind of paint do you use?
Yeah, like sometimes it's something as simple as that. Like, how do you chalk it out? You know, but then other things are like, how do we get our city to kind of, you know, validate this type of work? You know, so we get on the phone, we send emails, we send documents. They can sometimes, you know, if we can get out there, we go out there and try to lead some workshops or some kind of how to's and create some connections there too.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk to Tim. Shall we talk to Tim?
Why not?
Good morning, Tim. You're on the air.
Tim. Good morning,
I'm
Tim.
I'm calling in.
You're on the air.
I had points to make, then I spaced out. But one of them was, I definitely believe in permaculture. I've been using it since the 80s. And my whole entire backyard is like a permaculture paradise.
Beautiful. Ooh.
But I also believe that permaculture goes beyond the traditional agricultural sustainability type thing, that it also has sociological implications, that you can build a permaculture type society as opposed to, well, I guess, whatever the hell it is we got.
Okay. And is there...
And then there was something else.
All right. Well, we only
have an hour, Tim.
We're gonna go ahead and head on. If you remember that something else, go ahead and message it back in. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's what happens, you know. All of a sudden, your mic goes live and your mind goes blank. It happens to me.
Mm-hmm. You have to write these things down.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. We do just have a half hour left. This hour always flies by. I want to, there's about three different things I want to make sure we get to. First of all.
But let's tell people who we're talking to again.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Preeti Shah and Reedy De Cruz from the Billing. We're talking about the Village Bird.
Village Building Convergence totally is what we call that thing.
That's what we are doing. It's the 16th annual, so person might get it right at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking coffee. I should be able to do this. All right.
BBC.
The BBC. All right. We're talking with these two fine women about the VBC, how it's done, why it's done, where it's done. At some point, we need to get to the schedule, don't
we? Yes.
That's what I was going to go to next, in fact.
Excellent.
So, since time is of the essence, there are 35 projects being worked on and the evening coming together at the hearth. Mm-hmm. This all starts next week.
Mm-hmm. Friday.
Woo! So, let's talk about the schedule. Who wants to give the overview?
So VBC starts June 3rd, goes until the 12th of June, and again, those 10 days, the first, you know, during the days, there's tons of projects for you to be involved in, you know, from painting to gardening to all these things. All that information is on our website, villagebuildingconvergence.com. And so, yeah, projects will be kind of starting on Friday all the way to Sunday. During the weekends are when a lot of the street paintings are done, and throughout the week are kind of like the longer term projects like natural building and some gardening and stuff. So if you have time during the week with your atypical schedule, Portland, come on out to those. And then, yeah, in the evening we have pretty much something happening almost every single night.
At the Refuge, which is 116 Southeast Yamhill Street here in
Portland. We'll be at the Refuge starting Tuesday, June 7th to Saturday, June 11th. But there's also some great concerts happening June 3rd and June 4th, as well as some great workshops happening on the 5th and 6th.
Mm-hmm. So, complex event.
Yeah.
And again, so people that want all the details of that, because obviously there are way too many details, mm-hmm. for something that is spread over 9 days and I don't know, 40 locations or something like that, where can people, again, get those details?
VillageBuildingConvergence.com.
All right. It's almost like we planned that. I want to just maybe give a little bit of an overview for people that are still like, I don't really get what they're talking about.
Sure.
Because people have seen these things. And when I talk to folks about VBC, they might not know that phrase. They might not know what Village Building Convergence means. Mm-hmm. But when I say, you know, the big sunflower at 33rd and Yamhill, they're like, oh!
Yep.
So if you could look at a couple of places that people probably have seen, and the Sunnyside Piazza is probably one of the best known.
Right, most recognizable, for sure, yeah.
But there's benches, and there's tree houses, and there's natural building structures, and there's things that we are used to seeing now around town that have been built over these last 16 years. Mm-hmm. Name a couple.
Hawthorne Hostel, the cob bench over there.
Oh, and the Echo Roof.
The roof, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an excellent example.
Yeah, Sherritt Square, that is our kind of legacy. That's the one that's been there for 20 years on in Selwood, Sherritt and 9th. Has like the first mobile 24-hour tea station. Mm-hmm. Then they repaint every year, as well as they have a kid stage. And yeah, that's probably one of our biggest beyond the Sunnyside Piazza.
Ground Zero.
Yeah.
PSU. People's Food Co-op.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
We've worked with them for many, many years.
Oh, yeah. there's a great installation at PSU. What's the cross streets?
I think it's Park and Harrison, just by Smith Union.
Right, yeah.
And what's there?
It's a Cobb pizza oven and this great like bench, also Ecker Roof as well there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're doing a ferro cement bench, so more earthen building. Mm-hmm. I'll take a moment to say we have 22 paintings happening this year, 9 natural building projects, and 9 ecological landscaping or permaculture projects. So some of them are, you know, the same project doing multiple things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of kids programming. So good stuff happening all over the city.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you're particularly excited about this year?
Oh my gosh, so many.
So many.
Right?
So many.
I'm excited for a Cobb insectary or, you know, pollinator habitat.
Oh.
I'm excited for...
I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
OG Natural Builders.
Right, yeah.
Mason Bees. and then Fast Cobb. We have a new technique being experimented with, Fast Cobb, in Southeast Portland. Mm-hmm. The bench, ferro cement. I love natural building.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have... a pollinator habitat being installed, like corridors. So in parking strips, people are planting all sorts of things for pollinators to come by. And then, oh my gosh, the paintings, the designs are just stunning.
Beautiful.
We're working with 2 farmers markets. We're working with a coalition of businesses. And, you know, there's things stewing for Ankeny Alley, which is probably going to be the 3rd largest plaza in downtown Portland. Don't quite know what's happening, but stuff's happening there.
They're definitely excited. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got mid-blocks because we amended our ordinance last year with the first mid-block going in Cully. And so they're repainting, but we also have a mid-block where I live, my homestead. So people's creativity always gets me. You know, it's just like, wow, Every year. Done it for so many years, but it never gets old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. I was glad to see the I was on your website, the returning intersex section repairs, because that paint peels right off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for, I mean, what a great way for people to get together to,
exactly.
To fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And new neighbors. You know, it's right, like, exactly. Oh, look, you weren't here last year when we painted this. You get a chance to help brighten it up.
Yeah.
you might have missed the first party, but the party continues. Let's go ahead and talk to Dennis, shall we?
Sure.
Good morning, Dennis. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering if you have heard about the new Northwest Pilot Project. Because this group is it sounds like to me, I'm not sure exactly this is true, but it sounds like that they, you know, they would, the things that they do would fall in line with what your group is doing. The Northwest Pilot Project is the first thing I heard about when I came to Portland. I was standing in line waiting to get into, hoping to get into a youth hostel so I could get shelter for the night, and. This group does renovation. One of their things is renovation of old structure of old buildings for people, mm-hmm. so they can get housing. Do you have any knowledge of this? Because that might be.
Hey Dennis, thank you so much for calling in with that idea and suggestion. I'm watching people write it down.
Okay, mm-hmm. thank you.
We're on their website right now.
Thanks very much for your call. 503-231-8187 is, in fact, the number to call if you, too, would like to join us on the air this morning. We are talking with Preeti DeCruz and Preeti Shah about the Village Building Convergence here happening the beginning of June every year, the weekend right after Memorial Day every year. This is the 16th annual. Mm-hmm. And I want to... maybe go back to something that I said, oh, you know, there's so much here. We can talk about this a little bit later. I think this is that time because we're running out of show.
Oh, my gosh, it's 8:40.
I know. How does that happen every time? And that is looking at the intersectionality between diversity. And I just want to throw in intersectionality and intersections in VBC a lot. But between diversity, between looking at welcoming people to Portland and actually looking at how they can be a part of this, even though they're new to town, they now have a sense of place. Welcome, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
B. Mm-hmm. And working also with diversity and anti-colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
How do all of these concepts feed each other through your work with City Repair and the VBC? I've had, in the past, I've worked with a lot of the neighborhood councils over the years. And oftentimes I would hear people say, oh, that's like some, you know, sort of bourgeoisie. It's like a bunch of white hippie kids that like to, you know, draw on the street, mm-hmm. you know, and other things that I find to be completely untrue. But beyond the complete untruth of it, that misunderstanding, that idea that, you know, this is like some pretty fluffy hippie art thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think with all of the talk we've already had, we don't need to justify it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, obviously, it's a little deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about those deeper concepts of bringing in new people,
mm-hmm.
Who are new to the area or new to the ideas of permaculture and VBC work in the work of City Repair. And how does that actually work with the anti-colonialist movements and what's going on with that?
Well, so one thing, one way that I like to express this is that sometimes it's much easier for us to wrap our minds around some of these concepts when we're working with something physically.
Mm-hmm.
So Trojan horse is kind of a violent war-based metaphor, but the physical projects are almost a Trojan horse for the community process that we really want to nourish. And so if you take a step back from that, then really what we're trying to do is, like, how do we live in this place? Mm-hmm. Immaterial of whether, like, who we are and how recent we've come here, whether, you know, going back to the original people here and their connection to the land, all the way to the new people coming in. It's crafting a culture of place that doesn't destroy and annihilate and isolate. And so it is very much about the community process. And so why that becomes tied in with the physical projects is because, you know, if we go around saying, hey, we live in a grid, mm-hmm. and we live in a development, and we don't have gathering places, and so therefore we're isolated and we see crime and this and that and all these other seemingly daunting challenges that we face that can all be addressed if we work together, people are going to think we're nuts, right? And so instead, we're like, hey, you want to grab a paintbrush? You want to slop some cob or work with branches or put some plants in the ground? And then it gives that immediate release. I'm getting something done. And then meanwhile, sneakily, you know, connections are being made, conversations, heart sharings, and the web gets stronger. And so then we become more resilient to be able to handle all of these changes coming in, mm-hmm. and to kickstart or strengthen that regenerative culture that we need to be able to survive in this place. And I say that because, you know, I'm from South India, and in Bangalore, we had a wave of massive development come in, and we did not have this kind of connectivity, and so we were not prepared. And so what ended up happening was that the culture just so quickly shifted, you know, from impatience on the road and road rage to just like not caring for one another and this competitive, like, I'm going to jab you out of the way. And so for me, in terms of how Portland is changing, it's really important to welcome new people and say, this is not the rules, but like, I'm hosting you. And so if you continue this, if you like this, since you came here, then this is how you can do this for someone else who's coming in, you know, and that's how the culture moves on.
And if I can just add, you know, we're talking a lot about inviting new people and building new communities, but also we should really talk about how we're helping strengthen communities that already exist. In talking anything about Portland sustainability and development, you cannot get away from talking about gentrification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our goal for these projects is this creative, connected, like, network of people that talk to each other, you know, and that is not a new concept. That is as old as every one of our ancestors gets, you know. Mm-hmm. Communicating with your neighbors, you know, sharing resources, sharing food, sharing stories, and like helping take care of each other. Mm-hmm. That is what we hope to engender in neighborhoods in Portland that, you know, maybe are becoming just fractured more and more, you know. So really trying to not only create connections, you know, continue that connection that is within that community, but like helping support that community feel like they belong there and allowing themselves to kind of celebrate their culture, mm-hmm. even more, you know. And so if it's celebrated outwardly and is shown to be strong, other people are less likely to come in and try to take that away from you.
Yeah. Okie dokie.
Let's go. First of all, the line kickstarting regenerative culture. Mm-hmm. That was priceless. I love that line. I want to say that over and over again. Let's go ahead and talk to Linda. Good morning, Linda. You're on the air. Hi, good morning, Linda.
Yeah, hi. I was calling to ask you a question and also to make a comment. You talk about the new people coming here, but you have to remember that not only do new people come here who really want to do something with the society here and stuff and everything that's really changing, but you get all the bad people coming too. We've had a whole lot of shootings that have happened lately, and people need to realize that too. It's not just good people that are coming, it's bad people that are coming too. But what I wanted to say also is the fact that, do you know anything about this program called the zombie houses, where they have all these vacant houses that aren't selling that they're going to be giving to people, you know? And how does a person go about acquiring something like that, you know?
I think
I'm stumped.
I'm
personally
totally stumped. We're all we're all shaking our heads here, so which is not great radio, but there it is.
we'll look into that later.
Yes.
But I want to address the question about not only good people move here, but bad people too. My own personal philosophy, my heart of hearts says that there are no bad people. That we are people that are responding to circumstances and to a broken society, right? That our social contract with each other has been stretched to the point of breakage by capitalism and by other forces. And so, crime happens. I don't think actually there's been a large increase in shootings. I don't think that's true.
Last night on Rodney and Alberta Street, and there was several shootings before that. There's a great increase in shootings happening here.
Yeah,
gang activity and stuff.
I'll disagree. I mean, I do know that shooting did occur, and that we have had some. But I've lived in Portland my whole life. Right? Since 1966, I have lived in Portland. And no, there's not a crime wave. It's not. There have been periods of more violence and less violence. But it's sort of bubbling along. And really what we need to do, and I think we've discussed a little bit this morning, is trying to find the antidote to why people feel they need to act out in this way. And it's basically, again, people's needs are not being met. Mm-hmm. Right. Whether it's, poverty issues, whether it's mental health issues, whether it's addiction issues, whether it's, there are needs not being met. That's why we turn on each other. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go ahead and leave it there. But when we come up with ways to strengthen and bond with each other and to build together and to try to, again, make whole that social contract, then we're moving in the right direction.
And that's true. I forgot that we have a question from a caller, which was, do you do anything in Vancouver, Washington?
Yes.
There that's we go, caller.
Yeah, we're stewing on something, and we've had VBC projects there, greenhouse and something else, there were two sites. So
they could probably find out on the website if they looked. Mm-hmm.
info@cityrepair.org. Uh-huh. If you email us, we'll get back to you.
There you go.
All right.
There you go, lovely caller.
Vancouver, not forgotten.
Vancouver's.
Tim, you're back and you've remembered your question.
Hey, what I was thinking was, if the problem is developers who are developing for profit, high end, then why don't we become a developer or encourage a group of progressive people to become developers?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Take it back. We support. Yes. We support this idea.
Mm-hmm. Is that happening? And I would like to see it happen like in all the major cities throughout, kind of connect it as a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Use that movement to encourage it to happen on smaller scales all throughout.
You've got work to do, Tim.
Yeah. I think when I traveled to San Francisco, where I feel like they are further along in their process, I was amazed at how much they're learning and connecting with each other, and how strong their anti-gentrification coalitions are, and community land trusts, and all of these different kind of mechanisms for doing precisely what you're talking about, Tim. Mm. Just taking back our ownership and stewardship of land. So,
one question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck in Salem. Is there anything happening in the Salem area?
Well, that's up to you,
Not
Tim.
Yet, Tim. But
like I said, Tim, you got a lot of work to do.
We would love to come out. Again, just info@cityrepair.org. And just shoot us a line about what you're thinking, and maybe we can connect.
Do you have a map of the places that have in the past had? Because I know that you're certainly not only in Portland anymore. Mm-hmm. That there have been projects in Vancouver, there have been projects in Hillsborough, there has been projects around, right. and not quite as far as Salem,
mm-hmm.
but certainly getting there. So again, looking at expansion, looking at people where you are, wherever you're listening right now, thinking about this process and connecting in, getting advice. But is there a map of places that VBC has built in the past?
Coming soon.
No, I was going to say, because if not, could I suggest you make one before we talk again next year? Because that'd be awesome.
It looks like the website's going towards
that.
Yes. It looked from the way that was built, it looks that way.
Because of City Repair being very grassroots before, you know, it's hard to digitize or capture a lot of those hard evidence of, like, photos. But for anybody that has been involved with placemaking for City Repair, actually, maybe this is a great call-out place. You know, if you've done a project in the last 10, 15 years and we don't know about it, we'd love to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good call out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and keep rolling. We have only like 5, 10, less than 10. We have 5 minutes left. Okay, we have 5 minutes left. We have a caller on hold. Let's go ahead and talk to Paul. Good morning, Paul. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
So I remember, God, it must have been, 25, 30 years ago when Mark Lakeman started doing his talks around town, and then he did his tea horse. And I was kind of inspired. I really liked the idea of community building. I liked the idea of, his concepts about the grid. But I also had some criticisms about, there's always been this tension between sort of, trying to do this prefigurative, create the society that we want, create unity amongst people and get projects going. And on the other side, actually fighting the system that continues to destroy everything we love. And I really found that pretty much completely lacking. But, I was willing to, give it keep an open mind. But I feel like that tension remains, and basically things have just gotten drastically worse. And to me, I hate to say this because I really love, the spirit of what Village Building Convergence is doing. But to me, I really get this sinking feeling that it's kind of like rearranging the desk chairs on the Titanic, and there's still not any kind of really acute recognition of the dire situation that we're actually facing on the planet.
Okay, we have 4 minutes left. We'll attempt to address that now. Thanks, Paul.
All right, do it.
There's your challenge, Rudy.
Well, Paul, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul, I think we need both and, and personally, I have worked in activism fighting against the system and for multiple years in India. And maybe it was partly this struggle against the system. Maybe it was partly the specific institutions I was working with. But I completely burnt out and got exhausted and disillusioned and frustrated. And all of these negative things where I was just like, man, this is not working for me. And so then I shifted my focus and my approach a bit. And, as much as I totally believe that we need to be dismantling this oppressive system piece by piece, I also believe really strongly that we need to be recreating what we do want to see in the world simultaneously, because that is super important and keeps people engaged and keeps... for some of us, it just works better in certain phases in our life. So I know that it can seem like it's, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I love that metaphor. But in some ways, we're rebuilding the Titanic. We're steering away. We're asking these questions that just change your whole framing of the situation.
And part of that is really the work of decolonization.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it reminds me, I'm a super geeky nerd sci-fi person. And so, there's the ultimate test that Kirk cheated on in Star Trek. There's as he was in the Academy, he's given the unsolvable problem and he solved it by changing the question. Right. And that's what's coming to my mind when you're talking.
And I'd like to talk for a second just about our volunteers and our volunteerism, because we would be
You've got two minutes. Okay. So let's
do it. We'd be nothing. City Repair is, VBC is usually all volunteer run, and it really essentially is that spirit. So I think a lot of what we're hoping to do is build leadership, this excitement that you can come show up and do a lot just by being there, by helping a project or by helping us at the venue, or really creating the stewardship that, and we get it, people that are volunteer maybe are younger, maybe are older, and maybe are moving, but that's this sort of idea of like, hey, I got to come here and plug into Portland and learn all these things. So if I move back to Nashville, I can still do something there too. Mm-hmm. So that is building this inherent personal leadership that we are hoping that will dismantle the system from within, you know, taking the beast down, you know, one person at a time. So
right. And certainly nature abhors a vacuum, you know, so we can we can try to dismantle the ills that are going on. But if we don't have a vision to replace it, what's going to happen? We're going to recreate the same problems unless we have thoughtful intention about the society we want to bring in.
Perfect.
With that, we are fairly much out of time. I want to make sure people know how to connect. How do people get the information about how to connect with VBC, how to participate next week?
VillageBuildingConvergence.com.
Oh,
woohoo! We're we're also on Facebook, Village Building Convergence, Portland City Repair Project, Portland. Info at cityrepair.org. June 3rd through the 12th. Come out.
Thank you, Riti De Cruz and Preeta Shah. Thank you so much for and talking with us this morning.
It's always a pleasure to talk about VBC, and I look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Great. Anytime. Right. Thank you.
Take good care. And we will, in fact, be back next week.
Positively revolting as ever.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
That program was made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts, presenting Case, Lang, and Vairs, an evening of music with songwriters Nico Case, Katie Lang, and Laura Vairs, Saturday, July 2nd at the Oregon Zoo. Tickets and information for Case, Lang, Vairs is at the zoo on July 2nd are available at zooconcerts.com. The time is 9 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for One Land, Many Voices.
Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the 29th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place July 1st through 4th at Tom McCall Waterfront Park in Portland. This year, performers include Tedeschi Trucks Band, Dr. Joan and the Night Trippers, Maceo Parker, a Prince tribute with Liv Warfield and the Special Horns, and many, many more, plus two after-hours parties, dance competitions, six cruises, and 4th of July fireworks. This year, everyone will need a pass to enter the festival. Single-day passes go on sale June 1st, and early bird pricing has been extended to June 5th at 11:59 p.m. Again, that's the Waterfront.